Praise God. It's power in the name of Jesus. Great to have Leland here with us, isn't it? Yeah. Leland's been a great friend to Woodlands Worship and Josh and Stephen, and you know, and God's using him in such a powerful way around the world. Hey, God is here, and he wants to make a difference in your life. And he is holy. He's set apart from us. That's what holy means, set apart. And I'm so glad that he's set apart from us, that he's greater than we could ever fathom. But yet he's closer than we could ever imagine. And so he knows what you're going through, whether you're worshiping with us online, maybe you're right in the middle of your living room, sitting there worshiping. He knows where you are, and he's got a word for you today. Or maybe you're right here at the Woodlands campus or at our Atascocita campus. He's got a word for you today, a life-changing word from his word. I'm really excited about this message because this is right where we live. And we want you to get something on Sunday that changes your life on Monday. And the only one who can change your life is Jesus Christ. And he wants to do that through his word. He's got a word specifically for you. And I'm telling you, I know the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart today. Something personal and something powerful. So let's ask him to. And let's ask him to do miracles today as only he can. Let's ask him to meet us right where we are and meet our need. Jesus always asks people, what do you want me to do for you? So many times, you know, the blind man, he said, what do you want me to do for you? I mean, it seemed pretty obvious, but he wanted the man to say, I want to see. So what is your number one need today? Christ wants to meet you right there and meet that need so he can get you to the real number one need you have, a closer and deeper relationship with him. So let's pray. Lord, I pray today that you would just let everyone within the sound of my voice know that you care about them today. Lord, meet them right where they are. Meet us right where we are, Lord, but don't let us stay here. Take us where you want us to be. So I pray that you would meet people's needs in a miracle kind of way as only you can, to show them that you're real, that you love them, you know where they're at. And then, Lord, take us to our real number one need, and that's to know you more. And that's to just experience you in our lives and grow stronger in you and our roots deeper in you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. I have up here a strip of sandpaper. Now, of course, sandpaper can be very useful. You might use it to sand down the rough places on a piece of furniture that you're restoring. Not long ago, I used it to sand off splinters on our porch swing. But if you rub sandpaper against your skin, it irritates, it's painful, and it's really dumb. But we all have people in our lives that are sort of like sandpaper. They irritate us, they rub us the wrong way, they cause pain in our lives. I call them sandpaper people. Fortunately, some of the sandpaper people in our lives we only have to see a few times a year, like on holidays. But unfortunately, there are some sandpaper people in your life that you see almost every day in your workplace, in your neighborhood, or maybe you live under the same roof. And really, we're all sandpaper people to some degree. And the Bible says once you become a believer, God starts the process of reconstructing your character to look more like his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what spiritual growth is. And sandpaper is one of the most important tools God uses to build our character, to make us strong in character and Christ-like in character. What I'm saying is, God uses sandpaper problems, sandpaper pressure, and sandpaper people to prepare your character for the great purpose he created you for. So let's look at his word. And would you stand in honor of God's word? In James 1, verse 2. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. You can be seated. James here says that it's pressure that reveals your character, and it's pressure that can change your character. So pressure has the power to strengthen our character to match our calling. And here's the point. Without the pressures of life, you can never fulfill your purpose in life. Did you get that? Without the pressures in your life, you can never fulfill the purpose in your life. This passage says so. Don't run from the pressure because you'll miss your purpose. The pressures of life are really a gift, an opportunity for your character to grow strong and to take the big step up to the next level that God has for you. Now, I have up here a bowl of sawdust. It's not oatmeal. It's sawdust. And sawdust is pretty much worthless unless this sawdust is put under heat and under pressure. And under heat and under pressure, sawdust becomes pressboard. And this is really heavy. And pressboard is stronger than a 2x4. I mean, it's really strong. And it's just sawdust under heat and under great pressure. And when the heat is on and the pressure is high in your life, that's your greatest opportunity to let God strengthen your character. And James says, I want you to realize that pressure is a gift. God's purpose for your life is wrapped up in the gift of pressure, because that's what God uses to make our character strong. So that means one of God's greatest gifts in your life is sandpaper pressure that comes from sandpaper people. Yes, I said that's one of the greatest gifts God has given you. I'm saying that sandpaper people in your life that irritate you, that cause problems for you, that cause pain in your life, they are a gift from God. But let's get real and real practical. How can you really see sandpaper people as a gift? Because I'd like to re-gift some sandpaper people in my life to your life. I don't know about you. I don't like to re-gift anything, but I would love to re-gift some sandpaper people to you. Now, I've made a list of some of the tools we have trouble getting along with that certainly don't feel like gifts to us. And I have them up here. And the first one is what I call the measuring tape. The measuring tape is that unpleasable and judgmental perfectionist. They're quick to let you know that you don't quite measure up to their standards. And they believe that they set the standard. The measuring tape is critical, judgmental, and unpleasable. Now, how many of you happen to have a measuring tape in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of them out there, unfortunately. And then there is what I call the hammer. The hammer is that tactless truth teller who's always causing blunt force trauma in relationships. I mean, they bring the hammer down. The hammer is always coming down on people, and they just say, I just tell the truth. I mean, it's the truth. I tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. What they're really saying is, I'm not really smart and I have no social skills. That's what they're really saying. Yeah, they speak truth, but there's no tact. It's truth with no love. And everyone walks around on eggshells when they're around a hammer, because you never know when the hammer is going to come down. And then there is the skill saw. Now, the skill saw is that really skillful cut down artist. And they are skilled at sarcastic remarks and kind of those little backstabbing remarks. Now, let's see if I can. I closed my eyes, so it's okay. Now, that was highly dangerous because I don't know what I'm doing. But the skill saw, they know exactly what they're doing. They don't blow up in anger like the hammer. They don't want you to know that they're angry. They skillfully get their anger out in little cut downs or sarcastic remarks or negative comments. It's really hard to pin them down. They're so skilled that it's really hard to confront them about their anger or negativity. And sometimes they'll pout and you'll ask them what's wrong, and they'll use it as an opportunity to say something that puts someone else in a negative light. It's easier to deal with a hammer than it is to deal with a skill saw, because at least with a hammer, the anger is out in the open. And those of us who are Christ followers, we can easily fall into becoming a skill saw because we don't want to admit our anger. Sometimes we think that anger is wrong and we should never get angry, and that's just not the truth. So we stuff it down and we hide it, and it comes out in ways that don't look too bad on the outside, but they're really destructive. So how many of you guys have a skill saw in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, you sure do. Well, let's move on, because there's the vice grip. That's that needy personality that squeezes the life out of you. They latch on. They get a grip on you and they don't let go. And they're so needy that no matter what you do for them, no matter how much time you spend with them, it's just never enough. How many of you have a vice grip in your life? Get rid of them, okay? Now, you may not be able to. And then there is the grinder. And now I do have to put some safety glasses on for this. The grinder, well, they're the ones that have the personality that grates on your nerves. I mean, there are just some people that irritate you. Sometimes you don't even know why. There's some people that just drive you crazy. There's some people that just, they push your buttons. There's some people that whenever you're around them, everyone knows that the sparks will fly. That's really fun. I'm gonna do that for another 5 minutes. Y'all just. Whew. All right. How many of you have a grinder in your life that just drives you crazy? Raise your hand. Yeah. And then there's the axe. Don't worry. You guys on the front row is like, oh no. No, the axe is that pessimist who always has an axe to grind. They're always negative, make negative comments, that constantly chop down the morale of the office or a relationship. How many of you have an axe? They're just always negative. I mean, no matter what, you know, they're the Debbie Downer. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. The axe. And the axe has a relative, and the axe's relative is the hatchet. The hatchet is that past dweller who can't bury the hatchet. They just stuff down their anger and it turns into resentment. The hatchet remembers every time they've ever been wronged. In a relationship, they're always keeping score. They easily hold on to hurts. They just can't let it go. They just have a hard time bearing the hatchet. And then they're what I call putty people. The putty person. The pliable people pleaser. They always tell you what you want to hear, so you never know what they really think. They really just try to please whoever they're with at the time, and like the shape of putty, they're always changing. Now, some of you guys are going, wow, Carrie, you just described everyone in my family. That's pretty amazing. There you go. I mean, how do we really get along with these people? All these tools in the shed? How do we really get along with or just deal with the sandpaper people in our lives? It's hard enough just to deal with them, and then God says, I want you to see them as the gifts that I've given you to build your character. So how in the world do I do that? Well, I want to share with you a passage that Jesus said that really brings it home. In Matthew 7:3, he said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus was saying, we're really good at pointing out the faults in everyone else's life, but we're not very good at seeing our own faults. And I hate to tell you this. Some of you, you never even thought of this, and that makes it a lot worse. And I hate to tell it to you right now, but here's the fact. You are a sandpaper person to someone. It's true. You are really sad about that, aren't you, you know? I'm a sandpaper person to some. Maybe God put you on this earth just to be a sandpaper person to somebody so that they can grow. Yeah, that's what you should think. God just put me on this earth to help somebody else grow. That's why I'm so annoying. But it's easy for me to see the sandpaper people in others, you know, I see that's a sandpaper person, that's a sandpaper person, but it's hard to see it in me. It's easy to see the sandpaper in everyone else's life. It's hard for me to see that I'm also a sandpaper person. And Jesus used a powerful illustration so we could get this. And I'm just copying Jesus when I illustrate biblical principles with props and things you can relate to. That's what Jesus always did. That's how Jesus taught. And I want to teach like Jesus. Jesus always used things that people could relate to illustrate powerful truths. He would say, look at those birds over there. Do they look worried to you? I don't think so. So why do you worry? Their Heavenly Father takes care of them. Doesn't He love you so much more? He's going to take care of you, so don't worry. He would look at that farmer planting seeds in the ground, and he would go on to talk about how to plant in life so you could harvest in life. He would use things that people could relate to because he knew they would remember the powerful principle he would attach to them. And here, he uses sawdust. And he says, a lot of people have a speck of sawdust in their eye. And you guys are really good at seeing the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye. And that's fine, he says. But the problem is, you got a 2x4 in your own eye. And you don't even realize it. You have a 2x4 in your own eye. Oh, you're great at seeing the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye. But you can't see. You got a telephone pole sticking out of your eye. Jesus was saying that a lot of Christians are really good at seeing the sawdust of sin, the sawdust of faults, the sawdust of problems and mistakes in other people's lives. They're just not very good at seeing the 2x4 in their own life. And so a lot of Christians come around and try to help people get the sawdust of sin out of their eye, and all the time they're just hitting them with a 2x4. I'm over here to help you. You got a speck of sawdust in your eye. And just they're just hitting them back and forth. And they go, I don't really need your help. Thank you so much, but that's not helping. And what Jesus was saying is, you need a whole new perspective. You need to see that you've got a 2x4 in your own eye. Now, notice he didn't say that we need to ignore the sawdust. No, I mean, the sawdust of sin is a big deal, and it's very hurtful in people's lives. You get just a little speck of sawdust in your eye, it's painful. If you get a lot of sawdust in your eye, you can go blind. He's just saying, yes, there's sawdust in people's eyes, and it's a big deal. But first, you got to get the telephone pole out of your eye so you can point them to the one who can wash the sawdust out of their eye, so you can be a healing agent in this world, so that you can be caring and compassionate. We're all in the same boat. We don't like to think that we're all in the same boat, because if we're all in the same boat, that means I've got some problems and sins and faults that I need to deal with. I've got some remodeling that God has to do in my own life. And we're really good at being patient with ourselves. It's one of my best qualities. I'm very patient with myself. Just very patient with myself. But we're very impatient with others. I got to work on that. We're very forgiving of ourselves, but we're not so forgiving with others. We become very judgmental, and that's one of the main problems in relationships. One of the biggest problems in relationships is we judge others. We judge each other. We blame each other. We try to fix each other. We try to take the speck of sawdust out of the other person's eye, and we hit them with a 2x4 constantly. And really, it's like two people hitting each other with a 2x4, going, you need to change. You need to change. I'm going to help you change. And we're just hitting each other with a 2x4. We're always trying to fix each other and change each other rather than allowing God to remodel and change us. Now, they may need to change. They may have some issues that they need to deal with. You may be relating to someone who really needs to change. But the point is, you can't change them. You can't change another person. You can't even change yourself without God's power. You can't change them. So what you have to do is give them to the Lord, and then you work on changing yourself, because you can control that. Take responsibility for the remodeling that needs to take place in your life, and turn to the Lord and say, God, remodel my character, make me more like Jesus. Because if you do that, it could very well change the relationship, because no longer do you have a 2x4 in your eye. And then you can help them and turn them to the one who can wash the sawdust out of their eye. But it's just too easy to to try to change everyone else, to try to change your mate, to try to change your kids, to try to change the people you work with. But God says, first, you got to look inward and you've got to see the need to change. And then you look upward and allow God to start remodeling your life. Then God can use me to be a healing agent in others' lives. And he can use sandpaper people to build my character. So I need to get a new perspective on the sandpaper people in my life. And I get that new perspective when I realize Scripture teaches us that God has intentionally and purposefully placed sandpaper people in your life to irritate you. And that's a very spiritual thing. They are holy sandpaper. That's an amazing truth. And once you realize that, it makes things a whole lot easier. That God intentionally put some people in your life to annoy you, to tick you off, to irritate you, because he wants to rub off the rough edges of your character that don't look like Jesus Christ. And God uses sandpaper people, sandpaper pressure, sandpaper problems to rub off the rough edges of our character that don't look like Jesus Christ. And so that person at work that annoys you the most, they're holy sandpaper in your life. God placed them there because he wants you to be more like Jesus. Now, I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 5, verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to be patient, and patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. He's saying, if you want to be a more patient person and you pray for patience, God doesn't just instantly give you patience. No, he puts some very annoying people in your life so that you have to learn patience. And he can build your patience. If you want to experience joy, God doesn't just snap his fingers and give you joy. He has to bring some pressures and problems into your life so your circumstances aren't perfect, because joy is something that doesn't depend on your circumstances being perfect. That's happiness, and happiness depends on everything happening around you being perfect, and rarely are the things happening around you perfect, so rarely are we happy, but God can give you joy, and the only place you learn joy is right in the middle of problems, and then you realize you got something there. God always brings sandpaper problems, sandpaper people into our lives for a purpose. They are holy sandpaper. And maybe you have a measuring tape in your life, someone who's unpleasable, a perfectionist who's always looking down on you. You want to please them, but you can never please them. And they never accept what you do or accept you. And maybe God has placed that measuring tape into your life to point you to himself, so you'll find your total acceptance in Christ. Because really, until you find your total acceptance in Christ, you'll never have fulfillment. You'll never truly find acceptance. Every one of us has to eventually look to Christ for our total acceptance and seek to please him in our daily lives rather than to please people. And so maybe God has allowed a measuring tape into your life because you haven't been looking to Christ for your total acceptance. And that measuring tape is forcing you to face it. That measuring tape is your holy sandpaper to turn you to Christ's acceptance. So if Christ accepts you, you don't have to worry about anyone else. You can live according to your true self, the way God created you when he came into your life. Or maybe God has allowed a hammer in your life to teach you to get stronger in your character, to teach you to stand up to that hammer instead of being a wimp. The hammer is your holy sandpaper. God always uses sandpaper people in your life for a very intentional and purposeful reason. So I want to pray and ask God, God, show me why you've allowed that person in my life. Now, if you can get away from them, if you don't have to hang around them, then go. But if you can't, they're in your workplace. They're in your family. You're married to them. Let's not get into that. And that's when the sparks will fly. But you want to say, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to teach me? What do you want to do in my character? And don't forget, not only are they in your life for a reason, but you're in their life for a reason. Don't ever forget that. Maybe that person at work that annoys everyone, God put you there for a reason so you could be Jesus to that person. Have you ever stopped to think that maybe God has put you right where he has so that you can be Jesus to someone. So pray and say, God, open my eyes to really see what you're trying to do in my life and give me a new love for that person, because beneath the hammer, beneath the measuring tape, beneath the vice grip is a hurting person. And really, God uses holy sandpaper in our relationships to make us more like Jesus so that we can be Jesus to the people God's placed us with. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I'm in a workplace and there's no Christians there, and I just want to, maybe I could come work at church where everything would be perfect. Well, it's not perfect here. Believe me, we pastors are imperfect people. We got some sandpaper pastors, you know? You can't believe that, can you? Yeah. And one of them is me. I bug a lot of pastors around here, you know? But they think, if I just came work at church, everything would be so heavenly. And here's the thing. Maybe God's placed you in that workplace where no one knows Christ so you can be Jesus to them, because who's going to be Jesus if not you? Think about it. Pray about it. Maybe God wants you to leave, get out of there. Maybe they're a bad influence on you and you're not prepared to really be that person. I don't know, but pray about it, because God may have put you right there for a reason to be Jesus to them, because no one else will be. So what is Jesus like? In John 1:14, it tells us, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of this one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus was full of grace and truth when he walked this earth. That's who Jesus is. He's full of grace and truth. And if we become more like him, we'll be filled with grace and truth. In our relationships, we'll give grace to others. We'll give grace to them because they don't have it all together, and we know we don't have it all together. But we'll also be truthful because we love them, and you can't have love and grace without truth. You can't have grace without truth. Jesus told us the truth about our sins. And unless we know the truth about our sins, we can't experience grace. We need grace because we've all sinned. And that's why Christ gave us grace when he died on the cross and rose again. He said, you know, your sins are bad. They keep you from a relationship with me. They're destructive in your own life. That's the truth. And you can't have love without truth. You got to share the truth. But then there's grace. Because of truth, we need grace. And because of the truth that we're all sandpaper people, we need grace from each other as well. We need to give grace. And so Jesus is full of grace and truth. And by the way, that's what our church is. We're to be Jesus to this hurting world, to be a healing agent. We're to be the hands of Christ, the feet of Christ, the voice of Christ. We're to be full of grace and truth. We will always tell the truth at Woodlands Church, and the truth comes from God's Word, and God's Word never changes. So the truth never changes. We don't give in to culture and just change because culture has changed. We'll always share the truth because that's love. I mean, if you don't share the truth, that's not love. And a lot of churches have kind of given in and gone with culture and said, you know what, we don't want to share the truth about this or the truth about that, and we're just going to love everyone. It's just grace to everyone. There can't be grace without truth. And so we'll always share the truth, but we'll do it with grace. We'll say, you know what? We're all in the same boat. We're all sinners. And we need his grace. And there's grace available, but we'll tell people, this is sin. We're going to tell you the truth, but there is grace in Jesus Christ when you come to him and he gives you victory. There is grace. And then there's some churches that it's all about the truth. They just hunker down when it comes to culture, and it's all about the truth. They just share the truth, but there's no love. There's no love in it. They're just always judging everybody else for their sins. And that's not what Jesus was. He was all grace and truth. Now, I want you to look at Ephesians 4:15, because this is how you put grace and truth into your relationships. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And so when we speak, we're to speak the truth wrapped in love. You got to share the truth, but you do it in love. And really, it all comes down to my motives. What is my motive for confronting someone? You see, if you love someone, you share the truth with them. If you really, a relationship is really important to you, then you've got to share the truth with them and confront them. You got to, you know, if you want the relationship to go to a new level, if you don't, then just don't say anything. But if you really love, you're going to confront at times when a relationship is going the wrong way, when someone is hurting you. You got to care enough to confront. And by the way, managers, you have to care enough to confront. You got to confront someone and say, don't do it this way. Don't do it like that ever again. Do it this way. You got to share the truth, but you do it in love. And so it's all about my motives. Am I confronting them just because I want to get it off my chest or to get back at them because they've hurt me? Or is it because I love them? Am I confronting them because I care about the relationship? And even though it's painful to confront and have conflict, I want the relationship to go to a deeper level. I don't want to settle for a shallow relationship. That's love. It all comes down to your motives. You can be really caring and compassionate but never tell the truth, and that's really not love. There's no such thing as love without truth. You have to tell someone the truth if you love someone, even if it's painful, but there's a way to tell the truth that's all wrong. You're just trying to get back at them, or you're just trying to get it off your chest because it is burning in you, and then it's all about you trying to feel better rather than you caring deeply about building the relationship and building up the other person. Now, I know that some of you right now are going through overwhelming pressure or an overwhelming problem, or you're just being crushed by overwhelming pain that you didn't choose, but it's right there, and you're going, how in the world can that be something that's a gift? That makes no sense. How in the world could God allow this? It's overwhelming. I can't get through this problem. I'm stuck. I'm at a dead end. I want you to look at this last verse in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. This is the Apostle Paul, and he went through so much pressure, so many problems. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was imprisoned. He went through so much pressure, so many problems, so many trials, so much pain. And he says this, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. What a powerful passage. He was saying we were under tremendous pressure. Pressure that we could not endure. But you know what it did? It was really a gift because we couldn't endure it, because we couldn't handle it, because we felt like we were given the sentence of death and there was nothing we could do. We knew that we were going under, that we were done, that this was the end, and this was pressure that we couldn't endure. But you know what it did? It turned us to the only one who could get us through, the one who can raise the dead. We were at a dead end, but we turned to the one who could raise the dead. It taught us not to rely on ourselves because we were at the end of our rope. It taught us to rely totally on God. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He's saying through this trial, and he says, hey, guys, I want you to know. Not only was it not easy, we came to the end. It was pressure that I couldn't endure. But what it did was it helped me rely totally on the one who endured the cross. It helped me rely totally on the one who raised the dead. And so I was at a dead end, but I trusted totally in the one who could raise the dead, and he saved me. He brought me through. He raised me up and put me back on my feet. And I'm telling you, if you're going through an overwhelming problem, overwhelming pain, an overwhelming pressure, and you feel like you're not going to make it, and you feel like you've been given the sentence of death, you're at a dead end, there's nowhere to go, there's no hope, you can't endure this, it's okay. If you'll just totally surrender to the God who can raise the dead. You're at a dead end, but there's a God who can raise the dead. You're at a dead end, but there's a God who can deliver. You're enduring pressure, but now you can't endure it any longer. This problem is too big for you. This pressure is too much for you. This pain is too much for you to endure. So just turn it over to the one who endure the cross. Maybe the reason why God's allowed it, and it doesn't make sense to you right now, but God has allowed it somehow. God doesn't cause the bad to happen, but he allows it at times in our lives. And maybe, just maybe, God has allowed you to come to the end of your rope so you'll rely totally on him. You can't rely on yourself. You can't do this one. And really, we can't rely on ourselves every day. We need God for our very next breath. Sometimes it's just the overwhelming problems that we finally realize it. And we rely on the one, the only one who can get us through. Just give God that chance today. You're at the end of your rope. You're at the end of your endurance. Just rely totally on God and you see what God does, because he will come through. He's the God who raised the dead. He's the God who endured the cross and rose from the dead. If you're at a dead end, he's the God who can see you through and deliver. Do you believe that, Woodland Church? We have a God who delivers, and when there's no way, he makes a way. Let's stand together and let's pray, because we have a God, when you hit that place of no way and there's no way you can get through and you have no more strength, he's the God that makes a way where there is no way. And if you can't see it, that's okay, because he's making a way where there's no way. And some of you are at that place right now where that problem is overwhelming, that pressure is just too much. You can't endure it anymore. And it's time to rely totally on God and say, God, you're right. I can't endure this. I don't know why you're doing this, but I can't endure it another day. So I give it over to you, God, because you have the power to raise the dead, and you have the power to deliver me, and you have the power to give me the strength to endure it. So I trust you. I just rely totally on you, because I'm done. I have no more strength left. God, there's no way, but I turn it to you, the God who makes a way where there's no way. Dear God, we thank you that you are the God who makes a way. You are the way maker. Even when we can't see it, Lord, you're already making a way just beneath the surface. And so, Lord, help us hang on, because we're gonna see it. Help us not give up, but to give over to you and rely on you to see us through. And I do pray for those, Lord, who are facing overwhelming pressure, overwhelming pain, and they can't endure it another day. Help them turn to you, and Lord, give them the power to hold on. Sometimes, Lord, the greatest miracle is just to be able to keep standing for another day. Because, Lord, the way that you're making is going to appear soon. You're making a way already where there's no way, and they're gonna walk through that way that you're preparing for them. Lord, they're at a dead end right now, but show them deliverance is just around the corner. So give us the strength to endure. And Lord, you are the God who raised the dead. So when we're at a dead end, we can give it to you and you can see us through. And Lord, I pray for those who are just hurting deeply. They're going through so much pain right now that it's hard for them to see through the tears and see what you're doing. So I just pray that you'd comfort them as only you can. And Lord, every one of us, no matter what we're going through, we need you desperately for our very next breath. So help us realize that and depend on you. And we rely on ourselves, Lord, we fall flat on our face, but help us when we fall flat on our face, get to our knees, Lord, so you can raise us up to be who you've called us to be. And Lord, help us open our eyes to the sandpaper people all around us that maybe you've placed us right in their lives to be Jesus to them. And Lord, I thank you for the sandpaper people that help us grow to become more like you. I thank you for the sandpaper problems that, Lord, I hate when they come into my life, but yet they're really a gift, and it's the only way I'll really trust you more and grow in you more. And I just pray for those who've never received you, that right now in the quietness of this moment, they would realize that they need you desperately, Lord, for their eternal salvation. If you've never received Christ, would you just pray this prayer with me silently to God as if you're the only one in this place? Just say these words in your heart. Jesus Christ, I admit I need you. I admit that I'm a sinner like everyone else, and I need your forgiveness of my sins. come into my life with your Holy Spirit and change me from the inside out. And I receive your free gift of salvation. I receive your free gift of heaven one day. As best I know how, I want you to be the Lord of my life from now on. I want to follow you. Now help me grow in my faith. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer, Christ came into your life. We want to know about it. And so go online, check, I've received Christ. Or right there online, you can just check, I'm raising my hand to receive Christ. Or you can go out in the foyer of our campuses and tell one of our pastors, one of our volunteers. We're going to give you information on how to grow in your faith. We got a new believer's Bible for you. Be at the membership class next Sunday from 1 to 3. We feed you, and that's how you join the church. That's how you get out of the stands and into the game. That's when God really blesses your life and works in your life, when you're connected. And God wants to work a miracle this week. He wants to make a way. If you feel like you're at a place of dead end where there's no way, God is the God who makes a way where there's no way. And he's working it right now. He's the way maker. I love when I hear Leland sing this song, Waymaker. And sometimes I'll turn on the radio and there's Waymaker on. And it's like, it's so encouraging because it always hits me right at the time where I need God to make a way for me. Or in my playlist, when Waymaker comes on, it's just powerful because it reminds me I have a God who makes a way where there's no way. Do you believe that, Woodland Church, that you have a God who makes a way where there's no way? Do you believe he can do it in your life? Well, let's sing this song and let's claim it and let it be our proclamation. And in faith, believe it, because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. He's working it whether you see it or not. It's coming. Let's sing it to the Lord.
Hey, church. Thanks for listening to the Woodlands Church with Carrie Shook podcast. By listening, we hope that you're encouraged wherever you are. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast so that you can get the latest messages each week. For more information on Woodlands Church, check out the description for a link to our website and how to connect with us. We hope you have a great week.